Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Beis. We left off on the top of Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. So today we're going to continue discussing the Amatraxin. Yesterday we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, whether there was one parochas or two parochas during the Zman of the Bayesheni to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if there was two, there was an Amma in between them. So the Gemara is going to explain the Safek. We have a Safek, whether that Amma is Kilifnim or Kilchutz, does it have the Kedusha of the Kodesh or the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So we're going to explain what exactly is behind that suffix. That's the majority of Amud Aleph. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to begin to quote five different psukim that the Gemara is not going to elaborate too much on them, but Rashi does five different psukim in Chumash where we are not sure where to put the comma in the psukim, because we're going to explain that the suffix about the Amatraxin may also relate to an issue of not being sure where to put the comma in a pasuk. Then in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to tell us about the path that the Kohen Gadol takes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what he did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the path out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Gemara is going to discuss which Beis HaMikdash the Mishnah is speaking about, because on the one hand it assumes that there is an Aron, which sounds like it's talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, because the second Beis HaMikdash there was no Aron, but on the other hand it talks about Parochos, that he's walking between two Parochos. That was only in the second Beis HaMikdash, not in the first Beis HaMikdash, so we're going to have to figure out which Beis HaMikdash we're talking about. And then at the very end of the Daf, the Gemara is going to have Machlokas, which direction the Ketores were placed over the coals. Were they placed as the Kohen Gadol was moving away from his body or moving toward his body? That's going to be a machlokes tanaim. But just to, before we begin, to pick up a couple of things from yesterday. So we said that there was a machlokes where what path the Kohen Gadol would take through the Kodesh in order to get to the curtains, to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There were three opinions. Either he would walk directly along the northern wall, or he would walk toward the north, but between the Shulchan, not directly along the northern wall, but between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, or he would walk between the Mizbeach and the Menorah toward the south. Definitely not along the southern wall. Why not along the southern wall? Because Meshachri Mane. That would cause his clothing to become dirty, and we don't want his clothing to become dirty. So because the soot from the menorah would blacken the walls. He's wearing the Big Day Lavan, so if he brushes up against the southern wall, his clothing would become all blackened. So Rav Eliashiv just points out, and so what if his clothing becomes black? What's the problem? So Rav Eliashiv points out in his Saharos that it would passel the Avoda, because the Avoda has to be Lekavarul Teferes. So that would be a real problem. If it's not Lekavarul Teferes, he comes in with dirty clothing, so that would actually possibly Avoda. The Likutei Halachos, Chafetz Chaim Likutei Halachos, raises the question why the Rabbim leaves out this halacha that Kohen Gadol doesn't go Derech HaMenorah. It's halacha. He's not allowed to pass by Derech HaMenorah lest his clothing become dirty. Why does the Rambam not mention that halacha? So he suggests that maybe this is not a halacha, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go along the southern wall. It's just that he's not allowed to have dirty clothing. And Lu Yitzur, if there was a way that we could come up with that his clothing wouldn't get dirty, so there would be no isser to go along the southern wall. And the Rambam does already paskin that if he's wearing begadim mashchirim, that it's a puzzle, that it's a problem. And but if they had some way to clean up the wall or something, and his clothing wouldn't get dirty, maybe in Achinami there is no din that he's not allowed to go litzad darum. Now the Gemara had also mentioned that according to Rabbi Yossi, where the Kohen Gadol is allowed to take this sort of circuitous route, he doesn't have to go in the most direct way possible, even though that would seem to be a bit of a chutzpah that he's taking all these extra steps in the Kodesh, because the way the Gemara said it is chaviv in Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael is so special, so beloved, that we don't require a shliach. What does that mean? The Kohen Gadol is our shliach. So what does it mean? Chaviv in Yisrael, shalot zrichan akasav l'shliach. This seems to be a machlokas rishonim on the page. If you look at Rashi points out that his understanding is chaviv in Yisrael, that the rest of the year we don't require a shliach. When we want to daven, we daven straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore in Yom Kippur, where we do need a shliach, where we can't do everything by ourselves, so kol shkein that the shliach can go in a way that's less direct, in a way that's more comfortable, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already going to require a shliach, which is so unusual, which is so out of the ordinary, so he's going to give us that. He's going to allow us that at least our shliach will be able to go in that way, which is somewhat circuitous. So that's how Rashi writes. Now so on Yom Kippur, where we need a shliach, so he's able to go in that way. The Karban Asana, the Kiddushim Hashas, says that Rashi doesn't want to say like Rabbeinu Chananel. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? Rabbeinu Chananel and the Aruch say that no, Kol Hashana, you need a Kohen, the Kohen Gadol needs to wear pa'amonim. He needs to wear bells on his clothing, so that Bibo Lekodesh, it's as if his arrival is announced. But on Yom Kippurim, he's going Bibigdei Lavan, so he doesn't need the bells on his clothing. So he didn't require the pa'amonim, meaning the shliach, to be nichnas lefnai v'lefnim. So since the whole year he has this chavivus, so in Yom Kippur he's able to be nichnas bepumbi. So why doesn't Rashi want to say like Rabbeinu Chananel? So the Karban Asanal explains, because according to Rashi, the Kohen Gadol does come in announced. There is a bell ringing as the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because if you remember, on Daf Nundalim, Daf Nunbeis, no, that's today. A few days ago, we spoke about the Giyashtik, the little thing that we had a machlokas about. What there was some part of the shovel that we couldn't identify exactly what was going on with the part of the shovel. And Rashi had said that it was Memdaladam days, right? I think it was Memdaladam days. That we had the Niyashtik. So Rashi says, what is the Niyashtik? It was Taba'as Berosha Shemekashke Shumashmiya Kol, that it was a ring at the end of the shovel that would bang and make noise. So the way that the people understand that Rashi, the way the Achronim understand that Rashi, is that what Rashi is saying is that that was necessary because the Kohen Gadol didn't have bells on the bottom of his clothing in order to herald his coming wherever he goes, that it should be that it should make some noise. He didn't have the bells at the bottom of his clothing, so instead that's what the Niyashtik served. So if the whole pshat of Rabbeinu Chananel is that the difference between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year is that there's no noise, Rashi's not going to be able to say that way, because Rashi understood that there is plenty of noise when he comes in. So okay, now picking up from where we left off, we are on the fourth line now in Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Nelson, Amatraksin lo yichriyu bo chachamim ikil finim ikil chutz. The chachamim were not sure about that one amma between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whether it has the status of lefnim or it has the status of lechutz, whether it has the status of the Kodesh or it has the status of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The chachamim were not able to be machriya on that issue. So maskev lo Ravina mai taima. Ravina says, why? What exactly was their suffix? Why couldn't they be poshate this suffix? What was the issue they were struggling with? So the Gemara is going to have two suggestions. The first one it's going to reject. Ilema, if you're going to say that the issue was the following, Mishum Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Vabayis Asher Bana HaMelech Shlomo LaHashem, Shishimama Arko, Ve'esrim Rechbo, Ushloshimama Kamaso, that the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built for Hashem was 60 amos long, and was 20 amos wide, and was 30 amos tall, Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, of those 60 amos of length, Varboim ba'ama haya habayis hu ha'hecha lefanai. Uksiv, vilefnei advir esrim ama orech, ve'esrim ama rochav, ve'esrim ama komaso, that the 40 amos were the hechal, and then 20 amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lefnei advir, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amos, so if you tell me that the whole complex was 60 amos, 40 amos was the hechal, 20 amos was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where's the Amatraksin? Where does the Amatraksin fit in? Is it part of the 40 or is it part of the 20? Maybe that's the suffix. V'lo yadinan, Amatraksin imehani esrim, v'imehani arbaim. Is the Amatraksin part of that 40 or is it part of that? Is it part of that 20 of the Kodesh HaKadoshim or is it part of the 40 of the Heichal? So says the Gemara, v'dilma lo mehani esrim, v'lo mehani arbaim. Maybe it's neither. Maybe it's outside of the Cheshbin, that the Heichal was 40 amos, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amos, and then there was an additional Amma of the Amatraksin. V'chalola kachashiv kosalim lo kachashiv. And when we say that the Beis HaMikdash, that it was 60 amos, that the entire area from the Heichal and in was 60 amos, we mean 60 amos minus the wall, 60 amos of open space. But maybe in the Chinami, that wall did not take up the space of the, was not one of the amos of the 40, nor was it one of the 20 amos. So Teda, and I'll prove to you that this is the case, to kal hecha de kachashiv kosalim chashiv leilidide, that whenever it says the the walls, it always has the walls measured independently aside from the shishim. How do I know that? How do I know that walls are not included? Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that goes through the width of each of the walls and each of the areas in the Beis HaMikdash, starting from the wall before the ulam and going inward, going westward. Ditnan, the Mishnah says as follows: Hahechal Meya al Meya Berom Meya was 100 amos by 100 amos with a height of 100 amos. Kosal ulam chamesh. The wall, the thickness of the wall before the ulam was 5 amos. Va ulam achasasre. The ulam itself was 11 amos. So now we're up to 16. Kosal hechal sheish. The wall between the ulam and the hechal was 6. That brings us to 22. Va'archo arba'im amah. The hechal itself was 40 amos. That should bring us to 62. Va'amatraxin. Then you have the amatraxin. That should bring us to 63. V'chaf amah beis kodesh hakadoshim. And then you have the 20 amos of the kodesh hakadoshim. That should bring us to 83. Kosal hechal sheish. Then you have the wall on the other side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is another 6, that should bring us to 89. Vata sheish, and the ta is another 6, that should bring us to 95. Vekosal ta chamesh, and the wall of the ta on the other side, on the western side, is 5, that brings us to 100. Great, that explains all 100 amos, but look how we did it. We said 40 amos of hechal, 20 amos of Kodesh HaKadoshim, plus 1 amma of amatraxin. So you see that the amatraxin is an amma aside from the 60 amos of open space in the Hechel / Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that can't be, the suffix cannot be where that amma was, whether that amma took up space of the 40 amos in the Hechel or of the 20 amos in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That cannot be the issue, because it took up neither, it was neither one of the 40, nor was it one of the 20. It was an independent Amma. So what is the suffix then about this amatraxin? Ela kedushase, ikalafnim ikalachutz. The suffix is about the kedusha of the amatraxin. Does it have a status of kedusha of being like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or does it have a status of kedusha of being like the Heichal? But it's where it was located, we know exactly where it was located. It was in between, it was not part of either one of them. The question is what its kedusha was. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, that Yosef Ish Hutzal raised the question when the pasuk says in Malachim, "Udvir b'soch habayis mipnima hechin l'sitein shames aron bris Hashem." So the question is, how do you read the pasuk? Where exactly do we put the comma in the pasuk? So he raised the question, "Udvir b'soch habayis mipnima hechin l'sitein shames aron bris Hashem ibaylu." Hechi kamer, how do you say the pasuk? Hechi kamer kro, what's the pasuk saying? Udvir b'soch habayis kama mipni chaychen l'sitin Hashem l'sitin Sham, or odilma hachi kamer. Maybe it's as follows: udvir b'soch habayis mipnima. The kama is not between the word habayis and mipnima. The kama is after the word mipnima. As Rashi says, the first way of reading it is udvir b'soch habayis, a mechitza that you make inside the house, inside the Beis Hamikdash. Mipnima hechin, and inside of that mechitza you have the makom of the chalal, and that's where you put the yaron. So it sounds that the dvir itself is not part of the kedushas pnim, that we make a mechitza, and then lefnim, from that mechitza, that's where you have the aron, that's where you have the kedusha. But the second way of reading it is udvir b'soch habayis mipnima. The place of the dvir itself, the place of that mechitza itself, is mipnima. It is inside, that it itself is part of the kodesh hakodashim, and in that area of kedusha, that's where we place the Aron. So those are the two ways to read the pasuk. So that's what the suffix is really about. The suffix is, where do we put the comma in that pasuk? Now, parenthetically, we had mentioned that the height, the psukim seem to contradict each other a little bit in terms of the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because on the one hand, we said that Habayis HaShabana Melch Shlomo Hashem Shishim Amma Orko Ve'esrim Amma Rechlo U'Shloshim Amma Komaso, that it was 30 amos tall, that's in Malachim Aleph, and then just a couple of lines later, the Gemara quoted a different pasuk, where the pasuk says Lufnei Dvir Esrim Ama Orech Ve Esrim Ama Rochav Ve Esrim Ama Komaso. It described the Kodesh HaKadoshim as being Bekoma, as being a height of only 20 amos. So which was it? Was it 20 amos or was it 30 amos? So Tulsus on the top over here just points out Rashi Pirish Bepirish Melachim Tahadam Le'el Ushloshim Ama Komaso Hainu Kola Bayis Adagag. That it's a question whether we count the aliyah, whether we count the rooftop. But the Gemara has a different way of dealing with the question. The Gemara asks this question in Maseches Babasra, Umeshani, and the Gemara answers, Esrim amu komaso misfas kruvim ulamala shakruvim shasa shlomo omdim bekarka mishnei tzidei aron gavam eser amos. The kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made were stood on the ground next to the aron. They were not little kruvim on top of the aron. They were giant kruvim that stood on the ground next to the aron with their wings over the aron, and their wingspan, the height of their wings rather, was 10 amos off the ground. So when we say that the height of the room was 20 amos, it means from the top of the kruvim to the top of the room was 20 amos, but the kruvim themselves took up 10 amos of space in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Good, so we said the whole suffix of whether the amitraxin counts as part of the heichal, part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is all a suffix, and where to put the kama in a pasuk. The Ritva writes that this suffix of where to put the comma in the pasuk was a suffix because they didn't know the pisuk hataymin. They didn't know how the trup worked out in the pasukim. But we have a mesorah about the pisuk hataymin, so we have no suffix about any of the pasukim that we're about to quote as in terms of where the comma goes, because once you have a trup, so we know exactly where the comma goes. We follow exactly what the trup says. In the Shari Ephraim, he says, the Maisa that Balkore should not be mafsik between these different psukim, because he doesn't want to appear to be machriya the suffix, meaning we do not rely on our Masorah in this regard. If the Gemara says it's a suffix, we have to treat it like a suffix. So what are these other psukim? The Gemara raises it as a question, that we said that this is the pasuk that we're not sure, this pasuk, we're not sure where to put the comma in. So frak the Gemara, no, we have an exhaustive list of all the psukim where we're not sure where the comma goes, and this pasuk is not on that list. How can we say that the whole suffix of the amitraxin is about where to put the comma in a pasuk? We have a whole list. Ibailu. Umim misafkalei. Umim misafkalei. Is that really the suffix where to put the comma in the pasuk? Vatanya, we have a braisa. Isi ben Yuda Omer. Isi ben Yuda says, Chamesh mikraos b'Torah ein lahem echra. There are five psukim in the Torah that we don't know exactly where the comma goes in the pasuk, and the Gemara only quotes one word from each pasuk. Se'es mishukadim machar arur v'kam. So the bottom line is those are the only five psukim that we're not sure where to put the psukim. So where to put the comma rather, and who wasn't sure? Isi ben Yehuda wasn't sure. So we said before that Yosef Ish Hutzal had the suffix about our pasuk with the amitraxin. So why is this a stira? One is Yosef Ish Hutzal, one is Isi ben Yehuda. Isi ben Yehuda thinks there are only five. Yosef Ish Hutzal has another one. He has a sixth one. No, Vatanya, we have a braisa that tells us as follows. Who Yosef Ish Hutzal? Who Yosef HaBavli? Who Isi ben Yehuda? Who Isi ben Gorarye, who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Mahalalel, that all of these people are the same person. So Yosef Ish Hutzal is Isi ben Yehuda, and he had a whole bunch of other names as well. But Umash Shemo, his real name is Isi ben Akiva Shemo. His real name is Isi ben Akiva, but the bottom line is, it's all the same person. So how could the same person who tells us that there are only five psukim that exist, that we're not sure where to put the comma, also tell us that there's a pasuk about the placement of the amitraxin, that also we're not sure where to put the comma? So the answer the Gemara very simply. Bidaraisa leka bidinvi ika. All five psukim on his list are psukim in the Torah. What he means to say is there are only five in the Torah, but there are plenty of psukim in Navi that we're not sure where to put the comma. Ubidaraisa leka, are there no more psukim in Chumash that we're not sure where to put the comma? Vayika dabai Rav Chista. What about Rav Chista's pasuk? Vayishlach esnare bnei Yisrael vayalu olos kvasim vayizvichu zvachim shlamim parim. Odilna idivi idiparim. How do you read that pasuk? Where do we put, where do do we put the parim? Do we say that that idiv idi parim and there's no esnachta on olos? Or not? So says Mal Rav Chista Masafka Isi Ben Yudah Pshitalei. Yeah, but that's a different amora. Rav Chista is not sure about that pasuk. Isi Ben Yudah only has five. He only has five pasukim in Chumash that he's not sure about. It's interesting. Tosfos points out that the Gemara Nida also goes through this list of all the different names of Isi Ben Yehudi, Isi Ben Korayeh, Isi Ben Gamliel, Isi Ben Mahalal, Isi Ben Akiva. Goes through all of these names, but it doesn't mention over there that he's Yosef Hishutzal. It just mentions the Isi names, or that it's Yosef HaBavli. It just says, or Yosef Hishutzal for that matter. It just says the names of the Isi names. So he says, yeah, that's not because the Gemara argues. The Gemara over there was in the context of talking about Rav Asi and names that are similar to Asi. So names similar to Asi, he went through all the names of Isi. But in Achinami, he had other names as well. The Gemara just wasn't so interested in outlining what all the other names were. So we do have a Mesora. We have, if you open up a Chumash, we'll have Pesach time in all these. First of all, what are these Pesachim? We mentioned these. So Rashi goes through with each one. Se'es is Halom Tetiv Se'es. That's in Bereishis Perek Dalid. That the pasuk says Halom Tetiv Se'es and Lo Tetiv LePesach Chatas Roves VeLech Shukasov Atatim Sholbo. So the question is it Im Tetiv Se'es that if you do good Kai and then Se'es then you'll get a Slicha then you'll get a Mechila so it's Lashon Mechila or is it Halom Tetiv that as follows that O Se'es Imlotative, that the se'es goes together v'imlotative. It's haloim tative. Se'es v'imlotative, that the se'es goes together with if you don't do good. V'loshon nasius avanhu means you're going to have to bear the burden of your sin if you don't do good. So that's the suffix, what se'es means in that pasuk. Next one, mishukadim, arba gvi'im mishukadim. Which part of the menorah is mishukadim? Is it the gevim that are mishukadim? Is it arba gevim mishukadim kama, or is it arba gevim kama mishukadim kaftareu frachecha? The mishukadim, the part with the designs of almonds, is the kaftareu frachecha. So that's the suffix about mishukadim. Machar v'tzehi lachem b'malek machar. As Moshe says to Yoshua, b'char lanu anashim v'tzehi lachem b'malek machar anochi nitzav al rosh. Moshe says, I'm going to be davening. So what's going on? What's he saying? V'tzei lachem b'amalek machar, go fight the war tomorrow. O'tzei lachem b'amalek miyad. Or maybe no. Go fight right away. And tomorrow I'll daven. Go fight now. I'll daven tomorrow. Today you don't need my tefillas. Today you're already covered. I already davened. Whatever he was saying. That you don't need my tefillas today. I'll daven tomorrow. So that's the something about machar. Arur, what's Arur? So this is in the brachos of Yaakov Avinu. So Beretzona Mikru Shar. This is Yaakov Avinu says that Besoda Maltava Nafshi Bekala Maltechad Kavodi Ki Ba'apam Harguish Beretzona Mikru Shar. This Shimon and Levi Ba'apam Harguish Beretzona Mikru Shar Arur Apam Ki Az Ve'avrasam Ki Kashasa. So we have a sof pasuk before the word Arur. So Beretzona Mikru Shar Arur Shar Shal Shchem Shumei Ar Kanan. Do we say that the Arur is going back on the previous pasuk, meaning our sof pasuk is in the wrong place. That this is the only one that's sof pasuk. The other ones are asnachtas. This is the only one that we're not sure where to put the end of the pasuk. So is the Arur going on Shechem, that they went out and they destroyed the whole city of Shechem, that accursed city of Shechem, or is the Arur going on Apam, on their anger, the way we have it, Arur Apam Kiyaz, that the anger of Shimon and Levi is Arur. And then the final one is when Hashem says to Moshe, "Hincha shochevim avosecha v'kama amaze v'zana achre Elohei nechar." So is it "Hincha shochevim avosecha v'kam v'kan ramazal tchias amesim"? As Rashi says, that he's saying you're going to be shochevim avosecha v'kam. You're going to go lie with your fathers, but don't worry, you're going to get up one day. And this is a remez to tchias amesim in the Torah, because Hashem says to Moshe, "V'kam," that you're going to get up from your death. Or v'kama amaze v'zana. The v'kam is going on what the nation is going to do. after Moshe dies, that they're going to go and worship Avodah Zarah after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So those are the five psukim. Now in the Taimei HaMikra, on the word Shor, we have a Sof Pasuk that shows us that the Arur is not Shaykh to the Shor, it's rather Shaykh to the Apam. By the word Amalek, also by Gvim and by Avosecha, there's an Asnachta. So we see that Machar is Shaykh to Anochi Nitzav and not to Amalek. Mishukadim is Shaykh to Kaftar Ferach and not to Gvim. Vekam is Shaykh to Amazeh and not to Shochev im Avosecha. Now it's interesting that Ibn Ezra writes in Tehillim, Perek Mem Hei, that Ibn Ezra writes that the Trop and Asnachta is not always the end of the, it's not always a way of showing that that is the last word of the first half of the Pasuk. We normally think of Sof Pasuk ends the Pasuk, that's clear. Asnachta divides the Pasuk in two parts, and the last word of the first half of the Pasuk is the Asnachta. Says Ibn Ezra, sometimes an Asnachta tells us that word straddles both sides of the Pasuk. That it's the last word of the first half and also the first word of the second half of the pasuk. That an asnach, yes, it divides the pasuk, but what it does with the word that the asnachta is on, the Ibn Ezra says, is not always the same thing. Sometimes it's the first of the second half of the pasuk. Now that's clearly against the Ritva, meaning the Ritva over here says that we don't have this suffix anymore of how to read these psukim because we have trap. Look at where you have the asnachta, and that solves all the problems. The Ibn Ezra would say that would solve absolutely nothing, because the Asnachta doesn't tell you anything. The Asnachta just tells you that that's the halfway point of the Pasuk, but doesn't tell you which half of the Pasuk it actually belongs on. So that's the comment of the Ritva, seems to be against that Ibn Ezra. Tosos also raises a question. Tosos over here, Se'es Mishkadim Machar Arav Akam, raises the question. It's a strange order that the Gemara lists the psukim in. The order that they appear in the Chumash is Se'es is in Parshas Bereishis, Arur is in Parshas Vayechi, Machar in Parshas Bishalach, Mishukadim in Parshas Truma, and Vakam in Parshas Vayelech. That's how it should have been. So he says that the Girsa in other texts is otherwise in the correct order, but it's difficult that our Gemara doesn't seem to have it in the right order. Now, in terms of Mishukadim, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perigim Halacha Beis, that the Gevim and the Kaftar V'Ferach both need to be Mishukadim. So our Gemara is not sure which one needs to be Mishukadim. So it's hard to say that the pasuk is going on both of them. So the Kesef Mishnah says in the name of Mari Kurkus that since it's a suffix, so the Rambam says that we're Meshaked L'chumra. We make everything Meshukadim as a Chumra because it's a Suffolk. The Mishnah Melech says that the Chor of the Suffolk is only on the Pasuk of Nora Arba Gvi Meshukadim Kaftar Vaferecha, but not on the Pasuk Shlosha Gvi Meshukadim Bekana Echad Kaftar Vaferech. Because over there, the phrase Bekana Echad is mafsik between Gvi Meshukadim and Kaftar Vaferech. So it's clear that the Gvi are the Meshukadim. So he just points out the Suffolk is whether this pasuk adds another din of mishukadim on the kaftar v'ferach, but we definitely have a din of mishukadim on the gevim because we have a different pasuk where it very clearly says mishukadim on the gevim. So that's perhaps the explanation of the pasuk of the Rambam is that the gevim definitely, but we're not sure about the kaftar v'ferach side of the suffik. Who's machmir misuffik on the kaftar v'ferach? Okay, so now we're holding at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, so we described two curtains in the last Mishnah. It was Machlokas, actually, in the last Mishnah, whether there were two or one. But we're assuming, like Rashi points out over here, like the Shita of the Rabbanan, that there were two curtains. Now, the outer curtain was folded over along the the southern side, and the inner one from the northern side, meaning we're assuming now the way the Kohen Gadol is going to walk in is he's going to walk toward the south, toward his left, when he's going through the Heichal. And that way, when he walks in between the curtains, he's walking from south to north, and he's going to make a left turn into the Kodesh HaKadoshim at a north side opening of the inner curtain. So he's going to start he's going to appear in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the northern side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the northeast corner of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it was proof of Minadarum, Pnimus Minatzafon, Mahalich Bnei Natshamigil Tzafon. He continues to walk from south to north, in between the curtains until he gets to the north, he gil at Safon, hofeich panav l'dorim. When he gets to the north, so he does an about face, because now he's all the way in the northern side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he has to turn around to get to the area where the Aron is. Mahalich l'smolo ima paroches, adshu magil aron. So he walks from north to south, now in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with his left side brushing up against the paroches, with his left side across from the paroches, and his right side across from where the Aron is, until he gets to the spot of the Aron. He gets to the Aron, nosin es hamachta bin shnei abadim. He puts down the shovel full of coals between the two poles of the Aron, tzavaras haktoras al gabe gecholim. He piles the ktoras on top of the gecholim, v'nismali kalabayis kulo ashan. And the whole Beis HaMikdash, the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim rather, fills with smoke. Yatzo uvalo b'derech beis knisaso, and he goes out the same way that he came in. Umespal tefila ksar bebeis achitzon, and he says a short tefila in the heichal, not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but in the heichal, and no one was in the heichal at this time, so he was all alone there. V'lo yamarach b'tefilaso shlo lahavis es Yisrael, because he was all alone there, no one knew what was doing with him, no one knew if he was alive, so he would not daven a very long tefila there. He didn't want to scare people because they didn't. So many kohanim gedolim died when they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You wouldn't want him to take too long because everyone would be worried that maybe he didn't make it, that maybe he had died when he went in there. Okay, a number of issues relating to the mission over here. The Riva writes that the reason that that he would dafka go in this direction, that it was folded over along the southern, the outer curtain was folded in the south, was open in the south, and the northern curtain was open in the inner curtain was open in the north, was so that when he's walking in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he could be walking with his right side toward the Aron, because it's not derech kavod to walk with his left side toward the Aron. So why couldn't both of the openings just be in the north and he'll be able to walk straight through? Why does he have to go through the... So that's what the Rishonim explained. The Meiri explains that the point is that nobody should be able to see right into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim should have some level of privacy. What do we do with the Shita that says... We had in the last mission, there was only one curtain. So when it was folded over, everyone saw everything. It says, yeah, they would fold it over. Dafka and Yom Kippur. So the Kohen God wouldn't go in. But the rest of the year, it wouldn't be folded over. The rest of the year, it was closed because it's not respectful to be able to see directly into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, the Rambam paskens that there were two parochos in the Bayis Sheni. Lech Mishnah just raises the question that in Hilchos, that even though the Rambam paskens this way, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Dal L'Alecha Beis, in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Perek Dal L'Alecha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Motzei HaParochas Prufa. He doesn't say Parochos, he says Paroches. So it sounds like there was only one. So he says that the Rambam was Mekatzer B'dvarav. That's what you have to say, that the Rambam, the Lech Mishnah points out, that he was relying on what he had already written elsewhere. The Mari Korka says, no. In the Bayis Sheni, there were two Parochos. In the Bayis Rishon, there was one. There was the Amatraxan wall, but the Amatraxan had an opening, it had a doorway. That doorway was covered with the paroches. So that's what the rabbi means when he talks about one paroches. But certainly there were in the second Beis HaMikdash, the rabbi holds that there were two paroches. The Mishnah also said, Nismalei Abayis Kulo Ashan, that he waits for the whole Beis HaMikdash to fill with smoke. In Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Perek Dal Halacha Aleph, the rabbi writes that the Kohen Gadol is a chiv to wait there until that happens. He can't just drop the ketores and then, you know, get out of there. He has to wait until Nismalei Abayis Kulo Ashan, and he's not allowed to leave earlier. The Hagos Cheshek Shlomo brings a raya to that Rambam from the Tana of our Mishnah. It says, "V'nismali abayis kulo ashan." Why does it have to tell us sipur dvarim bialma that it filled up with smoke? What's the Mishnah adding? So it must be telling us that that's part of his job. Part of his job is to wait there until that actually happens. Reb Chaim in Chidush Agrach Siman Zayin, he writes that this din is knowing b'kol avodas hakohanim. It's not the din that the Kohen has to wait until it's done is by every avodah of the Kohen, that there's a chiv of the Kohanim to wait there until the avodah is over. So what was unique about the Ketores of Yom Kippur was that part of the avodah is Yismalei Abayis Ashan, as opposed to the Ketores of Kol Hashanah Kula. It's not part of the avodah of Yismalei Abayis Ashan, so you wouldn't have to wait by the Ketores throughout the rest of the year. But that's the uniqueness of the din is not that he has to wait till the end of the avodah. The uniqueness of the din that Nismali Abayis Kula Ashan is part of the Avoda over here. Now also, another important point over here in the Mishnah, when he makes his way out, so the Mishnah says, he goes b'derech beis knisasa. So says Rashi, what does that mean? K'shem shenichnas k'sholich l'dorom ha'che gila aron panav klape dorom. Just like when he came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he walked toward the south, facing south, kach k'sheyetze lo hesiv es panav latzeis, el yotzi derech achorav panav la'aron. When he would go out, he would walk out backwards, still facing the aron the entire time. He would never turn his back on the Aron. Fractosos, wait a second, isn't there a halacha that if a person, whenever we require bia, whenever we require coming into a place, the halacha is that you always go with your face forward into the place, and when you walk in backwards, that's not called hava'a l'makom. Tosfos points out, derech achorav is lo shma bia, the Gemara says in the second part of Shavuos, if a person goes into a house that has tzara'as, even if he's nichnas kulo chutz michotmo, he goes into the house backwards, so his entire body, except for his nose, is in the house, that's not called that he's in the house, because it's v'aba'a l'abayis, you have to have a hava'a, you have to be going into the house, and going backwards is not called going in. So maybe if there's a din of yitziyah, mibeis kodesh hakadoshim, how could he go out backwards? It's not a yitziyah. He says, no, there's a din between hava and yitziyah. Going in, it needs to be straight. Going out does not need to be straight. The question is, how far do we take this din? This din of not going out backwards. Now, from the Lashon Rashi, it sounds like it's only when he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim that he has to leave that way. But when a person leaves the Heichal, you don't have to go out Derech HaChorav. Certainly when the Kohen Gadol is leaving the Heichal, we have no indication that he left the Heichal backwards on Yom HaKippurim. And Pashto says, when anybody leaves the Heichal, there's no such din. Problem is, the Gemara is going to learn this out from Shlomo HaMelech, that when he left the Makom HaMizbeach in Givon, he went backwards, and over there it's not the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the implication is that it's not just the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that it includes more than that. They say about Rav Huttner, he used to be makbid, that when people would come visit him in his office, he had a buzzer. You couldn't get out of his office unless he would buzz you out. So if someone would turn their back to him to open the door, he wouldn't buzz them out. He'd have to back out because of the cover of the Rosh Hashiva. That's the Chaim Berlin, that was his mahalik. So in Sfasemes, the Sfasemes raises a suffix that maybe this din that you need to go derech nisaso is only b'mikdash rishon where there was an aron. I mean, he goes to the other extreme that maybe not only does it not apply out beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim, maybe even in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Bayis Sheni where there was no aron there, it wouldn't apply. That's quite a chiddush. He says that's why the Tana has this Mishnah before the Mishnah in Gimelam Beis, which is going to talk about clearly the Bayis Sheni. Okay, the Gvura Sari says that no, it applies everywhere. It applies even by any other Kohen leaving the Heichal as well. So it's just the respectful way of leaving a place. Okay, so says the Gemara, B'maya Skinon, which base of Mikdash are we talking about over here? Ilim Mikdash Rishon, Miava Parochas. If it was Mikdash Rishon, there was no Parochas in Mikdash Rishon. El B'Mikdash Sheni, Miava Aron. But if it was Mikdash Sheni, we have another problem. There was no Aron in Mikdash Sheni. V'atani Mishnignas Aron, Nignas Imotz, and Senes Amarun, Stalch Hashem and Amishcha. When the Aron was hidden away, the tzantzenes aman tzolch shem and amishcha was hidden away with it, and makalah shel aron shketeh v'racheha, and the staff of Aaron with all of its growth on it, va'argas v'shagru plishtim doron l'kei Yisrael, and the special box that the plishtim sent after they had stolen the Aaron and they sent it back, they sent it with a special box that was also hidden away. Shenemar v'klei azav asher shivosim la'ashem tasimu va'argas mitzido v'shlachtim osav ahalach umi ganzo, who hid all these things away? Yoshio ganzo, Yoshio hid them away. Ma Rasha Gansu, why did Yoshio hide them? Rasha Kasav Yelach Hashem Moschaves Malkecha Asher Takim Alecha. Amad Veganzo Shenemar VeYom Levim Hamavinim LeKol Yisrael Hakadoshim LaShem Tznu Asaron Hakadosh BeBeis Asher Banu Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael Ein Lachem Masav Bekasiv Ata Yivdu Es Hashem Elokechem VeSamu Yisrael. He hid them all away because he saw that we were going to lose the Beis Hamikdash, and he was afraid that it would end up in foreign hands if he doesn't hide it. So you see, the bottom line is that we have a problem. There was no Aron in the second Beis Hamikdash. There was no Parochas in the first Beis Hamikdash. Which Beis Hamikdash are we talking about? Says Gemara, the Yolna B'Mikdash Sheni, Umayhi Gila Aron, Makom Aron. We're talking about the second Beis Hamikdash. When the Mishnah says that he was Higila Aron, he got to the Aron, it means he got to the place where the Aron used to be in the first Beis Hamikdash. But it says he placed the shovel down between the Shnei Abadim, between the two poles of the Aron. That implies that there was an Aron there. Ema, ki ben shnei abadim. Now we say he estimates where the ben shnei abadim would have been had there been an aron there, but in fact there was no aron there. It's interesting. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos in Shorish Gimel, Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says that the avodas masa ha'aron is al yidei levim is not a mitzvah. It's noig ledoros. It was only noig b'midbar. The Ramban is cholik. The Ramban in his Hasaga says avodas masa ha'aron is noig ledoros as well. Even after we enter Eretz Yisrael, if there was any need ever to carry the Aron, it was the Avoda of the Levim to carry the Aron. And the Ramban says, and it's going to be needed again because the Aron is hidden somewhere. So how are we going to get it back? We're going to have to bring it back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The way we're going to do that is Dafka through the Levim, because that's a mitzvah that's Noeg L'Doros, that only Levim actually carry the Aron. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Oh, yeah.